My name is Luis Rivera, and I was originally sentenced to life without parole plus 140 years, and I served 30 years in the federal system.
My name is Antoinette Frank. A lot of people call me Tony. I spent 11 and a half years, but I had a 15-year, 8-month sentence.
My name is Barbara Scrivener, and I spent 20 years, 11 months, and 3 days incarcerated in prison on a 30-year sentence.
I was young. I went in at 27 years old. I was a pilot, was learning to fly, involved in aircraft sales. And unfortunately, I took the wrong route and went the other way. I got involved in drugs and transporting drugs from Colombia to the United States, mostly just cocaine.
I was an automobile dealer in Delaware, Ohio. I had a Chevrolet Cadillac store. I sold approximately 3,000 cars. While I was in business, 12 of those cars were sold to people who turned out to be drug dealers. And I transferred some titles from Georgia to Ohio for this group of people. And the government contended that I helped them succeed in their drug business, that I either knew or should have known that they were drug dealers.
In high school, I kind of became a drug addict, and then I would hang out with men that were kind of abusive and had drugs, and so I pretty much spent a lot of time just partying and not really caring about much. And I met this one man, kind of same situation, and then I married him, and then I became pregnant. And then I thought, wow, okay, so now I have a purpose in life.
We would fly to Colombia, and they would load up the airplane with about roughly 250 kilos, and it was brought back into the United States. We'd unload it and transport it back to someplace like Miami and secretly hand it over. Generally, it would be something like you just leave it in a car in a parking lot, and the owner would come by and pick it up, you know, and then you'd get paid for it. It was very lucrative.
I was at an automobile dealers convention in San Francisco. And some of my staff called and said that FBI and some other, the DEA had been in the dealership asking questions. And I thought it was sort of ludicrous. I didn't think I would be indicted for that. This is something that'll blow over and, you know, I'll be cleared. But that was the farthest thing from the truth.
So my husband was 11 years older and he was a heroin addict. He was involved with some friends of his that would manufacture meth. And they would sell the meth, and then they would buy heroin, and they would get high and party. The jury found me guilty of conspiracy, and I guess in their eyes, they believed that I knew what was going on. It doesn't matter if I knew what was going on. If I wasn't no part of it, then it didn't have anything to do with me. So being found guilty of conspiracy, that charge makes you liable for every single thing that anybody ever did.
You kind of think, what is this, a mistake? You know, this is, you're kidding here. And I remember at sentencing, when they brought me in for it, and the judge took a break. He said, excuse me, we have to take care of something. And then he brought me in, and you know, the lawyers all remained seated, and he proceeded in sentencing me. And after he slapped the gavel and he left, you know, all the other lawyers got up and walked over to where we were and said, hey, that's ridiculous, he can't do that. And so I had that in my head that, you know, this was wrong.
They had said something in the papers, because I was all over the papers. I was the headliner. I was the black automobile dealer, which was something unusual, especially a female, in the 80s. So the news had said from 30 years to life and all kind of stuff they threw out. I didn't actually know until I got to court on sentencing day that I would receive 188 months in prison. And I had no idea of what any of that meant until I got to prison. And start studying. That's when it really sunk in as to the severity of the sentence.
During the trial, my attorney was telling me they can sentence you to 30 years in prison, and I still, it did not compute. Even when I was finally sentenced to 30 years, I still didn't believe it. I'm still in my mind thinking this is not happening. There's no way I'm doing 30 years in prison. It makes no sense.
As Governor Michael Dukakis vetoed mandatory sentences for drug dealers, He vetoed the death penalty.
Everybody wants to be tough on crime, and that was the mantra then, to be tough on crime. Presidential elections where we lost because people say they weren't tough enough on crime.
I was not a gangster, and most of the people that I worked with never carried any guns. We didn't rely on any kind of violence or threats, and it was just too much money. You know, the opportunity was there, and when I say money, I mean millions.
It finally really hit me that, yeah, I'm going to do 30 years in prison, and no, I do not want to do 30 years in prison. There's no way. I was in FCI Tallahassee at the time, and they have these really tall buildings, and I got on the roof of one of the buildings, and I took a razor blade, and I cut my throat, and I jumped off. And they came and they took me to the hospital. I was DOA on arrival, and I spent 4 months in the hospital pretty much with everything broken. I had like 7 surgeries to repair everything. They thought I would be paralyzed. I'd learn how to walk all over again. And and I was in the hospital in those 4 months realizing, okay, well, I did pull through this, and now I might be paralyzed spending 30 years in prison. That doesn't make the situation better. I realized, you know, I'm going to have to try to figure out the best way to you know, get through this, because this is a reality and I am going to spend 30 years in prison, and you know, how am I going to deal with this?
Once you exhaust your appeals that you've been in, courts don't want to hear from you anymore. Even if they've made the mistake, they don't care, they don't want you back. But the federal government, through U.S. Attorney's Office, has the power to bring you back at any time. And they determine that, you know, I did enough time.
My warden had come to me and said, Barbara, I want you to know that yesterday the pardons office called and said that they were going to grant you your clemency and what I thought about it. And I just fell apart. It was right there in the middle of food service, and I just felt tears started coming, and I was like, are you serious? I mean, just 2 weeks ago I was thinking, you know, I still had, you know, 6-7 years left in prison, and now you're telling me in 2 weeks I'm gonna go home. It's not happening. No way it's happening. And 2 weeks later, I walked out those doors.
So I called my sister, and she said, your name's not on the list. She read that, and I said, don't look at the pardons, look at the commutations. And my name was on the list. I was in the phone booth. And she was just screaming to the top of her voice. And I just started crying.
I was down 30 years, and I got out in October. So I've been down almost 6 months. I've been free almost 6 months now, and I'm just enjoying every day.
And what does that mean? What is enjoying every day?
I can't wait to wake up in the morning.